CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. President Obama had the backing of Colin Powell in 2008, but the former Secretary of State told CNN's State of the Union he's not prepared to endorse Obama in 2012 yet.
I'm not committed to Barack Obama. I'm not committed to a Republican candidate. I will see who emerges.
Powell says at this point he doesn't see any Republican candidate who's a shoo-in to end up as the party's presidential nominee. Well, he doesn't deliver his State of the Union address until Tuesday. However, President Obama has sent a video preview to supporters, making it clear jobs and the economy will be his focus.
When you look back on these last 2 years, they're as tough as anything we've gone through since the Great Depression. The economy, when I first was coming in, was contracting rapidly. We lost millions of jobs. Businesses were shuttered. And I think a lot of people were worried about the future.
The president hinted he might include a call for bipartisanship in his speech in the wake of the shooting of Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Well, the man accused of shooting Giffords and killing six others in Arizona is set to make his next federal court appearance tomorrow. Criminal defense attorney Richard Herman says even if the feds don't seek the death penalty against Jared Lee Loeffner, it is still likely to be a capital case.
This is a guaranteed winning bet that the state is absolutely going to bring murder charges and the state will seek the death penalty.
So far, Loeffner has only been indicted on 3 counts of attempted murder, including that of Giffords. At least 6 people are dead in Iraq, where car bombs exploded in 5 different neighborhoods today in Baghdad. The attacks wounded at least 30 others. Police say the bombings show the hallmarks of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Well, it's back home for Zsa Zsa Gabor. The 94-year-old actress has left the Los Angeles hospital a week after her right leg was amputated. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrinasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath Event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the Bath Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
What is that? Are we going into orbit?
That's the theme from Spaceballs. You asked for it.
I guess I did. I even remember why. Oh, yogurt and yogurt. That's why. All right. So welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I have to say this is shaping up to be my favorite show ever because it has two of my favorite subjects. Italy.
Yay. Oh.
Particularly Florence and Tuscan wines and all of that. And dogs.
I know. I'm watching little Snowball lick.
Oh, so, anyways, I just want to remind everybody that we're on today live on WFED, and if you want to see this show and see what goes on in the studio, tune into TBD, the former News Channel 8, next Saturday at 11, and you'll see all the action. This is going to be cool. Ellen Gray, who with her husband, Chef Todd Gray, owns a celebrated Equinox restaurant downtown, is in with Stephanie Shane of the Washington Humane Society, and another surprise guest?
Snowball.
Hello, Snowball. Snowball's cute. I don't know what Snowball is. Snowball's about 3 pounds of love.
She's a blind date.
But they're here to talk about the upcoming Sugar and Champagne fundraiser on February 1st at the Ritz-Carlton downtown. Ellen came up with this thing, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago?
10 years ago.
Woof.
It's our 10th anniversary.
It benefits the Washington Humane Society, and the best thing is you can bring your dog, which
Yay.
We do every year. So Delilah will be there.
She's already getting groomed. And later in the show, if you find it really difficult to put a nutritious and easy meal on the table for you and your family every night, you're not alone. But Aviva Goldfarb is going to be in studio later.
Viva Aviva.
She is of the 6 o'clock Scramble Books and thescramble.com. We're going to talk all about how you can get that dinner on the table for you and your family. We'll do that later on in the show. Now, you've seen all the celebs walking down the streets in LA with their Pinkberry yogurt. Now you can do it too. They are now here in DC, and we've got a bunch of delicious toppings and Pinkberry yogurt in studio. We're going to be tasting it and talking with CEO Ron Graves later on.
Wow. We got the man. Okay, and Filippo Bartolotta is president of Le Bacanti. That's one of Italy's leading gourmet travel companies. He's a respected wine expert. Smile. You are respected. He's a journalist. He writes for major periodicals like Decanter Magazine, and he teaches about wine at the University of Siena. I would kill for that job. And he's in this weekend for Sips and Sups, the event that food celebs like Alice Waters, Joan Nathan, and Jose Andres are running. And he's with us today to talk about what it's like to hang with those guys, and to talk about great Italian food and wines and more, and his operation, Italy at Your Table, which is fascinating. We'll tell you more about that, and he's going to be pouring samples of some of his great wines, which is really
exciting.
Filippo, it's why you're here. But let's be honest. So let's start with you.
So you were in town this weekend for Sips and Subs. I mean, last night was the big fundraiser for, it was $100 a ticket, and you poured wines for that. But tonight are the big dinners. Todd Gray, I know, is participating, Fabio Trabocchi, Roberto Donna, all over the city.
Right.
So tell us how you got involved with Sips. I mean, you're coming all the way over from Italy. So how did you get involved?
It happened by chance. We do a roadshow called Italy at Your Table. So we travel coast to coast for 3 months in the U.S., and we take to people's home and restaurants an Italian and gourmet lifestyle experience. We got in touch with Joan Nathan through a common friend who's Jan Berman. She's a cook and a chef in Martha's Vineyard. So 2 years ago, over on a Skype conversation, Joan asked me if I could do the wines for the dinners. And I said, sure. She asked me for one house for 25 people. I said, sure. And then she asked me for 6 houses. And I said, sure. And then there were 14. I said,
did she say, Filippo, I'm going to teach you how to multiply in English?
So we have a... not just wines, we have, I believe, the best representation of Italy, from the Lower East Side, I would say Brooklyn even, to the Upper West Side. So starting from the Modica chocolate, the oldest chocolate master in Sicily, balsamic vinegar, and all kind of wines, from sparkling to dessert wine. And I've been matching to the 14 chefs, so that's been the biggest challenge.
All the wines you brought in today, I mean, you have over 10 bottles here. Are these a sampling of the wines being used tonight? I mean, how
Correct.
Much wine did you have to bring over here for this?
It's 14 houses with 25 people per home, so that's quite a lot of wine involved.
It is, I bet.
And so I had to look to go through the menus and see what kind of pairing to do, because of course all of the chefs, some are Italian based, some other are French or Japanese or Mexican food. So it's been quite a challenge, but lots of fun.
I bet. So what are you going to pour for us first? Most importantly,
What would you like guests to try? I think beginning with the sparkler is always the
Let's
best
do that.
In the morning.
A little bubbles to start
all
the
right,
morning is always good.
There's a theme about
while Filippo is getting ready, let's turn to our friends, Ellen and Stephanie. Ellen, this is your...
And Snowball. You keep forgetting Snowball.
So quiet. So
that's a good bit.
Yeah, you know, radio's theater of the mind. Snowball is about 4 pounds of sort of gray and white stuff. He's got two different colors. She's got two different color eyes, and so it looks like somebody put her in a bag and shook her up, but she's cute as a button. So that's kind of what she looks like. So Ellen, we were trying to count. This is like your fifth or sixth time on the show. So I think you're the Alec
Baldwin. Over for me.
And you're back to talk about what is now the 10th annual Sugar and Champagne. Tell everybody about the event. How did you start this?
It had a humble beginnings on my couch in the living room. I was watching for the first time ever Animal Cops with my son and burst out in tears. not believing that I never knew that there was a law enforcement division of a humane society. And as soon as we stopped watching the show, I immediately researched what Washington had, and we found out that we have our own officers, which the Washington Humane Society is a congressional charter back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And we in fact do have our own law enforcement force, and they have the ability to make a felony arrest. So I found all this out and thought...
and this is for people who mistreat, neglect.
This is for Michael Vick et al.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Well, we're giving Michael Vick a break now because we believe he's trying hard to not only be a great football player, but a better human being.
I believe in redemption, but I
believe in the system.
The Lord kept him from the Super Bowl this year just to teach him a lesson.
Got him close, though, man, I got to tell you. But, We thought that it would be right to honor these men and women in uniform. It's sort of a different division of law enforcement. And also humane law education is obviously a big part of it because we feel that, you know, teaching children about compassion at an early age prevents abuse at a later age. And animal abuse isn't just about animals. Many times abusers of animals are also the biggest perpetrators of domestic violence of all kinds. So the Humane Society has done amazing things with threading these different areas of abusive behavior together. So we find that, you know, following up on leads of animal abuse have often led to helping out mostly women and children who are in need to.
I got to interrupt. Filippo, okay, I'm going to ask you to pick that up because we're picking up everything that hits the counter.
We're opening champagne.
Can you lift the bottle? There you go.
Yeah, you can pop it.
Sounds like a thunderstorm. Sorry. Well, let me. Good opportunity to.
But let me ask you, Ellen, why sugar and champagne to celebrate these people? What made you, instead of doing something
hot dogs.
Different?
Right, hot dogs. Right. Well, first of all, I think that champagne and dessert are two really decadent, fun. Obviously, I'm in the food business. Right. So what's the funnest part of the meal? And my favorite things have always been the dessert and the champagne. So mm-hmm. I thought a great way to culinarily honor them.
This show is not True Confessions.
I know. Let me tell
it
you about
okay
what
if
I
you
really
had
do.
That.
It's fun in my household, let me tell you. But I thought the best way to honor our law enforcement, the Humane Society work they do, and our chefs in the city was to do something fun, light, exciting. And I think those two things are pretty exciting thing.
Well,
about
not
dinner.
To mention you get to bring your own dog.
That's true.
Event.
Thanks to the Ritz-Carlton, Annie Bouton King. Thank you very much for making that happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the carpet cleaner, but
we pay for that.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. All right, so tell us about some of the chefs and other purveyors that are going to be there.
Oh, we've got Rogue 24, RJ Cooper's new restaurant coming online. Bastille, Cuba Libre, Zen 10. Every year we bring on a few new restaurants. There's, of course, people that have, you know, been doing this. When we started, I started out with 8 chefs and about 50 attendees and 3 wineries. Mm-hmm. And we're up to 30 restaurants, 18 wineries, and other beverages now, too. So it just grows and grows every year. And the support is amazing.
I want to get into the food truck component because I know you're launching that this year. It's very exciting.
But, right.
But before we get to that, Stephanie, I want to ask you, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the program and so what an event like Sugar and Champagne does for the Washington Humane Society?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, Washington Humane Society, we do 2 different things with out in the field, and that is mm-hmm. one is our animal care and control, and those are officers. If there's a dog running down the street who needs someone to rescue him and get him home safely or get him to the shelter where he can find a new home, we do that. Mm-hmm. And our Humane Law Enforcement Division investigates allegations of animal cruelty, rescues animals, and Ellen says often ends up helping people as well in those situations. Mm-hmm. The Sugar and Champagne event really helps support those programs. We responded to about 16,000 calls last year in the field. So that's expensive to do. It's expensive work and important work. So Sugar and Champagne really helps pay for those services and make sure that we're 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that mm-hmm. there's someone to answer that call when someone makes it and get some help out there.
And they also do a lot of work inside D.C.'s schools, camps, churches with the humane law education component, too. So this money also helps to support those programs that help to teach young children how to care for animals.
Well, I think that is really important. I'm sure a lot of people don't realize how much outreach you guys do. in order to educate people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we find so often that people want to do the right thing for animals. They just need to sometimes be taught and told by someone how to care for an animal and what animals really need.
Well, I will jump in here with an unsolicited testimonial because I had dogs my whole life, but the first dog I ever got on my own when I went off to college was a mutt from the Humane Society, and he lives in memory as the greatest animal ever. And we've got a dog here with us today. Her name is Snowball, and I know you can't see her.
She's up for adoption.
She is up for adoption. She's really only about 3 or 4 pounds of love, and mostly right now she's saying, get me the hell out of here.
She'd be a good purse dog.
But she would.
Accessory dog.
Especially with those eyes.
Karen Feld, here's another purse dog for you.
Shout out.
You went there.
Come on. Well, Karen Lang, you
opened up. Oh, yeah, I know.
When Karen goes through security at the airport, it's like, you know, Noah's Ark in there. So anyway, Snowball's a cutie. And
we have to take a quick break.
Very quickly.
We'll talk about
what number
trucks.
Would people call if they're interested in Snowball or another dog?
They can call us at the Washington Humane Society. It's 723-5730, or they can visit us. We have shelters on New York Avenue and on Georgia Avenue. We're open every day of the week. If somebody's looking to add a dog to their family or a cat or even a small guinea pig, gerbil, we've got all kinds of animals.
Right. Okay, great. All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk more sugar and champagne. Ellen's going to tell us about the food trucks that are going to be there, which is a new addition this year. We are going to be drinking some bubbly and talking to Aviva Goldfarb in just a bit. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast.
Restaurant Week is right around the corner, and Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown is one of the hottest reservations in town for this annual wintertime celebration of food and restaurants. From January 17th through the end of the month, enjoy a great lunch or dinner at a great price at just $20.11 for a three-course lunch and $35.11 for a three-course dinner Monday through Saturday during Restaurant Week. You get a pizza at every table to start, plus other delicious choices for a wonderful dining experience. Make your reservations today online at farmersandfishers.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
All right, you're back on Foodie and the Beast. Doesn't it make sense to have dogs on with a beast? We're with Ellen Gray and Stephanie Shane of the Washington Humane Society. And guys, we have a couple of minutes left. Let's make sure people know where to get tickets, how to get tickets, all of that, because the event's coming up on the 1st.
Yes. WashHumane.org. Just click on events, and it's right there. Biggest day. So
tickets are...
Click and buy $90 for the general reception. We have a very important pause segment, the VIP.
PAWS, of course.
Pause, right? and that is where we have some wonderful savory chefs doing a little dinner before. But as you mentioned, you can also support some of DC's food trucks. But this year, I thought about it, you know, what was different and new out there. And certainly food trucks are a big addition on our culinary scene. And it dawned on me, what's the ultimate dog-friendly dining? And that is food trucks, because nobody's going to kick you out with your dog. So we asked a few of our illustrious Road Warriors to come and be part of the Sugar and Champagne landscape this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say that we have DC Slices, DC Empanada, Red Hook Lobster, and Captain Mac will mm-hmm. all be there lined up and before the event so you can grab a little savory snack with your four-legged friend and, well, and head on in.
Captain Mac is Adam Hurst's nephew.
Yes, it is Adam Hurst's nephew. That blew me away. I didn't realize I was old and that old that his nephew's now driving around making the most wonderful macaroni and cheese.
But I think it's important to mention that those who cannot come to the event for whatever reason, you can go to the food trucks before the event because they're giving 50%.
They're giving 50% of their proceeds away for the hours of 4 to 8 that they'll be parked around the vicinity of the Ritz-Carlton on 23rd Street, 24th Street area, that whole block. And they'll be tweeting out where they are exactly because we have to obey traffic regulations.
We got about a minute left. Okay. Tom, let's get you in here.
Tom Wellings.
Because Equinox is going to be participating, obviously, at Sugar and Champagne, and Tom Wellings is here. The pastry chef to the pastry chefs.
Well, I brought this for you guys. It's a sample of one of the things I'm going to be making for the event that you can try. It's a fruity pebble macaroon.
Fruity pebbles?
Yum.
So, okay, pass that back here.
Yeah,
I don't know why it went down to you. You've already tried it.
Is this where we should do... Hey, we don't have any... Oh, I can do it. Hey, Bonnie. What is it, Freddie Boy?
Okay.
There we go.
No, that didn't sound anything like it.
This is one of the things we'll be making.
Okay. What else will you be making? Are you going to tell us? Or is it a secret?
Apple cakes and bubble gum as well.
Bubble gum?
Apple cakes and bubble gum.
Why bubble gum?
That'd be fun.
Have you made it before?
Yeah. We're going to use, probably local peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
And just maybe some red wine gum.
Yeah. Are you a dog lover?
I have a dog, yes.
You are? Are you bringing him or her?
Every year.
What kind of dog?
It's a Brittany Spaniel.
Oh, great. All right, well, we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Shout out to Brooklyn.
All right, guys, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's get Filippo back in here. We wanted to talk to you. You've got a project that you call Italy at Your Table. Tell us what it's all about. Let's really get into that. I know you go to homes and you bring in Italian chefs and you try and give the Italian cultural experience. What more is there than that?
It's a blast for me. There is more the fact that I get to know Americans. I go to their homes.
Do you really want to? So many people.
Well, that's all.
Depends on the country.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, from New York City to Cincinnati, Kansas City, San Francisco, San Antonio, it's great to see the good American spirit. And these people love, most of the clients of mine love food and wine because we have a travel agent. So they travel with me and then they want me to host evenings. And that is great because we travel Italy with wine and great food. And some Italian chefs come around and then we talk about nutrition. There is a lot of interest, even with the Martha Stable event during the dinners, talking about how the Italians purchase their foods, how they cook it. And there is a lot of very, very strict relationship between agriculture and what we put on the table. You know, like if my mom goes to the grocery shop, she goes and she wants to see how, you know, she doesn't buy just the fillet. She wants to see the animal, how the animal is. And that's the fish is the same thing. The head of the fish, the eye of the fish. And that's something that people are very interested in. Nutrition rather than just calories. So.
Now, your mother's and a brave woman. I try never to look a fish in the eye.
Well, I think that's an actual perfect segue to our next segment because we're going to be talking about how to dine well and eat well with your family at home. But before we get to that, tell us what you're going to be pouring for us next.
Well, okay, so we begin our journey with the sparkling wine, traditional method. So it's like bottle fermented wine, Chardonnay Pinot Noir coming from the Lake Iseo and... Brescia, the Brescia Valley. Mm-hmm. This Bella Vista winery is owned by Vittorio Moretti, who in the 70s, at the beginning of the 70s, started off the project, and which was a hobby to get away from his everyday life, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And the hobby became, you know, Bella Vista now is recognized as one of Italy's most important sparkling wine. They have like 100 different parcels that they differentiate according to the different relationship between the varieties and the soil. And these, as a result, you have a very zesty, super crispy, very, very juicy lemon and lime sparkling with a good mousse on the palate. I mean, it's great, I think, even to begin the day.
It goes beautifully with the macaroons.
I bet it does.
I'll pass one over to you.
Sugar and champagne.
Exactly. Okay, so now what are we going to try next?
Well, I would switch. I would go to Red, and I would travel now from Lombardia, which is where we are with the Franciacorta. Mm-hmm. I think we could make our way down to Tuscany,
okay.
Where we could try maybe a Sangiovese, which is the most cultivated variety in Italy and the king of Tuscan varieties.
Excellent.
How I love Tuscany.
We'll go with that.
All right. Well, while we're doing that, Aviva, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Aviva. Cold Farms in with us. Aviva, your brand is all about helping busy individuals and families fight the nightly hassle, the scramble, to put something meaningful and tasty on the table by providing great and easy-to-prepare recipes for nutritious meals. But I guess my question is, why is everybody so damn busy?
That's a great question.
What happened to our world?
Our lives are so full, I think, everywhere. Why? I guess it seems like the more efficiencies we build into our life, the busier we get, because then we take on more things.
Right, so more Twitter, the more Facebook.
Yeah, but even the more laundry machines and dishwashers, the more we have time to then go and do other things in our lives. And why are we so busy? But we are, is the fact of life, that many of us have, I guess we have time to take on more and more and be involved with more things. And so sometimes we don't have time for dinner or not much time anymore.
Well, you know, I guess part of it, I mean, my dad, you know, was in the office by 9 and home by 6 because Connecticut Avenue was, you know, a ghost town, really. You could just drive up and down fast. But now I spend an hour and a half on the Beltway just trying to get home at night. So
not to mention you're never disconnected anymore.
It compresses the
work always comes home with you.
Right, you're not. We're never disconnected because we have our little devices that keep us.
Damn those devices!
I know.
Oh, I hate them.
Aviva, you and I were talking earlier this week. You know, there was a fabulous article written by Robert Egger about bringing everybody back to the table. I mean, it was in celebration of Martin Luther King Day, but David Stickinian to your keynote.
Oh, good.
But I think it's really interesting. The facts that were in there was about those who dine with their families. They are less likely to smoke or use drugs. They have a lower incidence of depression, and they even get better grades. I mean, what do you attribute to that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I've seen it in my own life as a child, with my own life, with my own children now. Mm-hmm. And I know that the studies show that families who eat dinner together, the children and probably the parents are healthier emotionally and physically, as you say. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such an important time. I know in my life, there's only my kids are 11 and 13 now. And dinner time is the only time.
Shout out to your 13-year-old.
Solomon is here today observing the media. And it's the only time that we're all in one room and we have a strict no technology at the table rule. Mm-hmm. And what I say is we disconnect from those electronics that distract us during the day and we connect with each other. We make eye contact. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen so much in our daily lives anymore.
No, I totally agree
with you. And I see why. And also children learn to have conversation with each other. They learn empathy. Even something like passing the peas is an important social skill. And table manners. These are all things that make us feel connected as human beings to each other.
Particularly when your son passes them under the table to the dog so he doesn't have to eat them.
Well, so with your...
Have you seen our table? You must have been there.
I was going to say, Eli's out there. He's like, well, thank God our dogs eat anything.
So you do the Scramble. It's a newsletter. How many people does it go out to?
Let's see. It's a paid subscription service. It goes to about 3,000 or 4,000 people every week.
Okay.
And the concept behind it is that for many people, what actually isn't the most difficult thing about making dinner isn't the cooking itself. I've learned from talking to so many people, especially parents, it's the deciding what to make and then making sure you have the right food in the house. And
it's
so
waiting to the last moment.
Waiting to the last minute. And then oftentimes you say, oh, forget it. I'm just going to order a pizza. You don't have as much chicken broth as you thought you had for that soup you were going to make. Mm-hmm. So I realized through my own experience, and I won't go into the whole story today, but that would take an hour in itself, but that what people needed was a plan. And so I started sending people a plan for the week of recipes for dinner, main dishes and side dishes, and a grocery list so that then they could shop once a week and get everything they needed for a week of healthy and delicious meals with some variety. So you're not eating chicken every night or pasta every night, too. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can customize it based on your
what you eat.
What you eat, what you like, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I give a basic plan.
Well, what about the people who, you know, resolve to do it? Resolve to do it and can't do it. In other words, all the ones saying, you know, I tried and I can't make it happen and all that. Because in a way, you're almost like you're like a counselor, a social worker, helping them get past all the can't and
I love doing that. I love doing that. And what I often tell people is
First of all, even if it is just picking up a rotisserie chicken and heating up some frozen broccoli and sitting together with that, that is family dinner, and that's okay.
It's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the important thing is that you're sitting together and you're connecting together. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I tell people, well, why don't you just try planning ahead for one or, you know, for two meals instead of just one, or, you know, stopping at the grocery store every day, making yourself crazy. And so it can be sort of a progression. And I think I often tell people, it's you don't need to strive for perfection. You just need to move in the right direction.
Well, I got a question for you. You know, we have dinner every night. I have to say, Nikki makes a great meal, and we sit down.
I'm sure she does.
She do. But we often will have, not a big one, but a glass of wine with dinner. And, you know, it just is a leveler.
Like a Sangiovese, for example.
But, I mean, you know, I'm wondering if people also sit down and they're throwing down Cokes and Pepsis and, you know, things that fight against the ability for the family to sort of take a deep breath and be a cohesive unit for the half hour it takes to eat dinner. Any advice or thoughts on that? I know it's a curveball. It's nothing we sort of prepared for, but.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm all about healthy food and real food, and we don't have soda at our table, probably like you guys, for the kids. We have milk or water. Of course, our milk is grass fed, and you know,
we actually have the cow right there.
Well, I've seen your dog actually.
Have you ever tried to
pass for a cow?
Ever tried to milk a dog? It's not easy.
So I think that having a glass of wine with dinner, anything that causes you to linger at the table and spend that time together and take the stress away and the negativity away and make it a positive experience, even if it is soda, I think that's, you know, that's not for me, but it might be for somebody else's family, or maybe it's a special treat once a week.
Right.
You know, I think that ideally for kids, they need milk and water. You know, most kids, it depends on their diets. Maybe your doctor has recommended Coca-Cola. I don't know.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about your readers and sort of their questions. Like, what do they want? Because I bet they
have tell you the biggest, when we get back, the teaser is I'll tell you the biggest question that I get.
Okay.
All right, great. Well, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking some more Italian wines. We're going to be digging into some pink berry yogurt, and we have a teaser. We're going to find out the biggest question that Aviva Goldfarb's readers ask. We'll be right back.
Intimate questions.
We all became the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies. And when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better, because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
here's the story of a lovely lady.
Okay, don't
sing. Why not? All right, you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David, Nikki Nellis. Aviva Goldfarb is in talking about helping families to actually enjoy the sanity of a meal together, and that's why we're playing the Brady Bunch, because they always had dinner together.
But as Aviva said, they did have Alice. They always had Alice.
She
Somebody
was
making
made
it
the
for
dinner.
Them.
Wasn't her name Alice Brady?
No, it was not. So tell me what your readers...
Oh, the biggest question.
The biggest question.
Oh, the most common question I get is, what if my kids won't eat anything I make? Picky eaters is a huge one, because most of my customers are parents who want to get dinner on the table for their families.
Right.
And I love to help them with that. And one of their biggest challenges is kids who are picky.
Okay.
And I have a lot of solutions that I like to offer for them.
Can you give us a couple?
Yeah, a couple. I mean, one of the things is that that kids naturally need a lot of exposures. Most kids need a lot of exposures to foods before they will accept them. But one of the best things you can do to expand your kids' palate is have dinner together.
Right.
That social element is really important. And keep offering foods that, even if they didn't like it in the past, don't make a big deal about it. I always say to my kids, well, taste buds mature. Maybe you'll like it next time when you're older. And I've seen that in my own. Solomon, who you saw here today, used to be the pickiest eater on earth, in my opinion, and now he eats everything.
But I think it's interesting. I think a lot of parents stress about their kids who are picky eaters, about what they don't eat. I mean, my daughter Tess can be a picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where I'm like, this is it. This is what I mean.
Absolutely.
This is what we're having. There is no
That's
other
what
option.
I recommend. And dinner is, I always say, breakfast and lunch are your choice, and dinner is my choice, and we try everything one bite to be polite. And I think that also another thing that's great to do is if you eat dinner with other families, oftentimes with older kids, the social element of other kids eating things, and really don't make a big deal. Don't say my child is a picky eater.
I mean,
don't put them in that box.
To invite our neighbors over for dinner, that ain't gonna happen.
I want you to invite me over for dinner.
Everybody, we're bringing you all over. All right, well, tell people where they can find you, please.
Oh, thescramble.com is the website. You can find the menu planning service there and the cookbooks. Had a cookbook come out last year that people seem to really be enjoying, and just learn more about
it.
And actually, you can get my free report on how to cope with picky eaters, how to parent tested survival strategies for picky eating.
But also, lastly, PBS. What are you doing for that?
Oh, PBS. I am a weekly blogger on PBS Parents. Mm-hmm. They have a new part of their site called Kitchen Explorers, and it's a great place if you like to get in the kitchen with your kids. Yesterday, my kids and I made a fortune cookie recipe from Kitchen Explorers. It was so much fun. Just great ideas of ways to engage your children in the kitchen, and that's another great solution for picky eaters.
Yeah. Does one of the things say, help, my mother's making me make fortune cookies? All right. Aviva Goldfarb, thank you. Filippo, let's get back to you. You're involved in so much. You got Le Bacanti, you've got Italy on your table. There's so much happening. I guess one of the things we're talking about is, how do you have time to go look for all the products that you incorporate into your worlds here? Do people come to you, or are you out in Tuscany in the bushes somewhere?
I travel the whole of Italy, and very often traveling across Italy
rubbing
is more exotic than
rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Rubbing it in.
To Washington.
He's asked me to be his assistant, by the way. I'm leaving you. Have fun.
We can do a house swap. I love Washington, D.C. You can come to Tuscany.
Yeah, you never get your house back.
So, no, I just travel. My parents are from Sicily, but I spend like 2 months, like October and November, when it's truffle, white truffle. I moved to Piedmont, where I do a lot of truffle hunt, and there I get to meet people, you know, like Trattoria, the super simple Trattoria to the 3-star Michelin restaurant. I mean, the idea when people come and explore Italy is just to live it all. Full whack. And, you know, saffron farms, or you go into Modena where you learn how to make balsamic vinegar. It's like 25 years to make this kind of product. Like, it's and again, what Viva was saying is great. I have a couple of kids, at 2 years old and a 7 years old, and they we make pasta together. They love making pizza, and very often, you know, Milo, the oldest one, would just get on the stall when I cook, and he wants cut the eggs. He doesn't know. So you break the eggs. And that's what we do. When Americans travel to Italy, they want to experience all that. So they have cooking classes with mamas, in fact, with my mom as well. Or if you are like a higher level, you go with chefs. Mm-hmm. And what we do with Italy at Your Table, we bring a bit of that Italian experience in people's home. And so we do cooking classes. We learn how to make pasta, how to make bread. We start from the basics, which is great. It's a great way of, you know, bonding, and, you know, get rid of your rings, and you start with the flour, and all of a sudden you have a meal. And you, of course, you know, always to go with great wine.
Right.
Because there is a difference between wine and
well, let's
great
talk
wine.
About this wine that you poured here, the Sangiovese.
Sangiovese, this comes like 20 miles south from Florence. Paolo De Marchi is the winemaker, Isola Lena. He's an artisan winemaker. He's been making wine all his life. You are in the middle of Chianti Classico in a beautiful forest, although civilization there arrived 3,000 years ago with the Etruscans. Still, that place is so clean. So you've got the forest on the northern side of the slopes. Then you have the olive groves and the vineyards. And Sangiovese is the main variety. This is called Ceparello, 100% Sangiovese. 2007, great vintage. I think Paolo has gone, you know, rich. You know, every year his consistency is quite amazing. Sangiovese from Chianti has got this very cherry-driven nose, a lot of licorice, earthy, and violets, and the palate is very cashmere.
Well, it has a great I don't even know how to, because you know I'm not the foodie, but it has it. What it tells me is this needs to be wrapped around some terrific spaghetti carbonara or something like that.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Perfect for that. Well, we're gonna go from beautiful wine to pink yogurt. Ron Graves, are you on the phone with us?
I'm on. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Ron.
How are you?
I'm great.
Ron is the CEO of Pinkberry Yogurt, and I guess a little like Steve Jobs, he must be a genius because in just a few short years, in a retail classification that was largely parity offerings, he and his team have helped Pinkberry become recognition as the best of the best of yogurts. And now Pinkberry's in D.C. You guys opened up a store in Fairfax, I think in October.
Yes.
And in March, big drum roll, Pinkberry opens at DuPont Circle in D.C. Hooray.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'll either be end of March, early April, right?
That's okay. We're going to save that drum roll for you.
Ron, let me ask you, how did this all happen? Who created Pinkberry, and how did this tangy yogurt sort of take over?
Well, Pinkberry started in 2005. Our first store was in West Hollywood, California, just about 6 years ago this month. And it was really unique. Although the category has been around for a while, Pinkberry is very distinct. We have a distinct point of view on the flavor profile, the toppings, and how to pair them. It's much more of a culinary experience. That's one aspect. So the product is one of three key elements of the brand. The other two are the inspired design and environment. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of our designs and the store, and it really matches the quality, the fresh, the clean, of the taste of the yogurt. And then lastly, we're very focused on the customer experience and the service level. I think that's the secret sauce for our people. And, you know, we get a lot of feedback on Pinkberry. People love our product. They love our design. But the biggest thing we get feedback on are how great and engaging our people are. You come into our store and they'll help you pair your favorite yogurt with a variety of our toppings and just go out of their way to make your experience fantastic.
Well, let's talk about the flavors of your yogurts. I mean, did you start with a select few in mind, and as the company has evolved, the flavors have evolved?
Absolutely. So when Pinkberry started, we had two flavors, original and green tea.
Mm-hmm.
And original is really the ultimate canvas. It allows you to pair it with really any of our great, you know, fruit toppings or dry toppings or liquid toppings. And as time has gone on, there's been a demand from our consumers who love our products for more and more flavors. That said, we're very thoughtful and discriminating as we launch flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So we have six flavors now. We think that's the right balance of flavors to satisfy our consumers. And we rotate those in and out periodically, like you'll be tasting blood orange today.
We're digging into it. We're way past you. We're digging into it.
Oh, perfect.
If you just keep talking, because we're busy.
Our mouths are full.
Good. So, yes, we're very thoughtful when we launch a new flavor. A Pinkberry flavor is special. A lot of time and energy and thought, dialogue with our consumers, a lot of research, a lot of R&D, because the uniqueness about the Pinkberry yogurt is it's very light, refreshing, and has a clean finish. And that clean finish, we think, is distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us to create pairings, you know, great toppings that go well with that yogurt. It's not random. So, you know, while there's probably, you know, millions of different combinations between the flavors of the yogurt and all of our dry and fruit and liquid toppings, it's that you know, unique combination of those as you pair them together.
Well, Ron, I have some good news for you. Filippo Bartolotta, who's in with us from Italy, talking wines, just mouthed to me that he's got the perfect location for the next Pinkberry in Taormina, Sicily.
So. Oh, but he's opening up some chocolate. Are you putting chocolate on that
from
yogurt?
From Sicily, in fact, from Modica. This is Modica, Sicily, from a Natsik recipe, and I'm going to shave a little bit of this chocolate.
On the yogurt?
Oh, yes.
There you go. See, we're
forgive us, Ron.
We're creating our own here. We're getting
that's fantastic. That's the beauty of Pinkberry. And by the way, we're you know, Italy's a very big inspiration for us. So that's part of the inspiration. And we have, you know, Italian partnerships and some of our toppings. We have Italian chocolates and so Italy is a great culinary country, as we all know.
I want to jump in with a business question, because as good as something might be, site selection is key to retail success, of course. The new site that you nailed at DuPont Circle is a massive home run in terms of just great positioning. So how much scouting around and research do you do before you take on a new market and a location?
Tons. So just as we put a lot of thought into our products and service and environment, we are also in the real estate business. We need great real estate, great presence. And so we put a lot of time and energy. We could have, as fast as we've grown over the last 6 years, we could have grown faster, but we've held back slightly to get that right real estate in the right locations in the right city. So we agree with you. Our store that's opening up on Connecticut Avenue, you know, we're very proud of. It'll be a great, great location in D.C. And that's how we operate.
Well, listen, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk to you about the Pinkberry Groupies. We thought...
Sure.
That was really interesting as we were checking out your website. And we want to talk to you about how you'll be expanding more nationally. And, of course, we want to eat some more of your yogurt during our break. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. When we come back, we're going to be drinking some more Italian wines and digging into some more Pinkberry. We'll be right back. 'Cause pink is the
love you discover. I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you, because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest, and over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-600-1195.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you. And the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
Yogurt!
Hello, boys. Well, you opened your fortune cookie, so here's your fortune.
That is from Spaceballs. All right, you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to Ron Graves, I just want to thank Georgetown Bakery, the Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the folks at Founding Farmers, Farmers and Fishers, and the people at Potomac Hospitality, Notte Bianche Dish and Circle Bistro, for supporting the show. Without
Absolutely.
That, we wouldn't be here.
No, we would not.
So back to Ron Graves, who is the CEO of Pinkberry. Ron, one of the things that we were, you know, we were digging in and doing research, we found that you guys have done an amazing job creating I don't even know what you'd call it, creating community. Pinkberry has groupies on your website. There's a way for Pinkberry lovers to communicate. You've got a great head of the curve use of social media within the Pinkberry community. Whose idea was that?
Well, you know, really it's our consumer. You know, Pinkberry is a very social brand. And, you know, our consumers love to talk about Pinkberry, love to share, love to bring people into our stores, love to, when we open a new store in a new town, you know, once they realize that, they'd love to share that with their friends and family. So it starts out really with the brand. It's very social. It's so, you know, very emotionally connected, very passionate consumer base, almost obsessive in a great way about Pinkberry. So it starts with them and the word of mouth. That's really what built the brand. So it's very natural, you know, today the way, you know, the web works and social media to be able to, you know, hook into that, to, you know, leverage and allow that passion to manifest itself. So we get a lot of dialogue among our consumers. We get dialogue among consumers before we're even in a new city, and they start talking about Pinkberry when we're coming. So it really starts with our consumer.
Well, and let me ask you, I mean, you guys sort of launched this tangy yogurt. Who was behind that initial flavor or taste?
Well, you know, Pinkberry was authentically founded by, you know, two founders who were very passionate about two things, design and environment and food and taste and quality. So that's what started the Pinkberry flavor profile. But, you know, we're also equally as known for our fruit. Our fruit's hand-cut every day in the store, never frozen, never in liquid. And that's really where the Pinkberry name came from. It's really our own berry, and it's really a celebration of that high-quality fruit paired expertly with our, you know, yogurt, which is delicately balanced between sweet and tart.
And so now there's a lot of Pinkberry imitators.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they've popped up. I mean, they're all over the country, but especially also here in D.C. How do you sort of maintain your brand with all these imitators?
Well, it's really the brand leadership. How do you keep those
guys
behind
you? How do you stay up front? Right, exactly.
Well, you know, I guess first thing is imitation's a great form of flattery, so we don't mind that. We are the leaders. We redefine the category, and I think it's about staying out in front, and it's about listening to our consumer. It's less about the competition. And it's more about us and our consumer, listening to them, staying ahead, being innovative, constantly coming up with that next great flavor, that great inspiring design, those great connections between our employees and the customers. It's really that 5% difference. So it's really, I like to call it the 5% difference. You know, there's a lot of things out there in restaurant space or other retail concepts that are similar, but it's the concepts that can stay always focused on those little things that surprise and delight consumers. Those little, you know, never compromising on our taste.
Right.
Always keeping that balance between the sweet and the tart. Always providing this clean finish where we can pair it expertly with new innovative toppings from around the world. So we listen to our consumers. We focus on our consumers. I think it's great that the space is so large. It attracts so many competitors. But we really, you know, are focused more on our consumer and what we can do to innovate every day across those three pillars of our brand than we are about, you know, the popping up competition.
All right. Well, Ron, we want to thank you for joining us.
And thank your staff for bringing in all this delicious yogurt. It's been so much
favorite?
Fun. The blood orange was really tasty, and I enjoyed it. But I think I'm an original girl. I like the original.
Yeah, it's a great canvas. You can put anything on it.
Ron, right. Don't you want to know what my favorite was?
My favorite
was everything, and not just because I'm a glutton, but because it was all delicious. I am a glutton, but it was delicious.
It was.
Well,
we really enjoyed it. So thank you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
That's great. I'd love to serve you all at our opening on Connecticut Avenue. If you're there, I'll personally serve you.
Don't say that because we'll be there.
Okay.
You invite me, I come.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Filippo, let's get back to you.
Well, I want to ask
Caro
you.
Caro Filippo.
Prego.
Parliamo, va bene.
Please be quiet. I would love to talk to you. So tonight you were pouring wine for all these dinners.
Right.
How was it working with all these different chefs? I mean, how many different wines are you pairing at each dinner?
Well, roughly, I'm going for three labels per dinner. Some dinners would require more labels just because there is more courses to match. So really, it has been a bit of a mix and match. I mean, according to the I read through the menus. I contacted some of the chefs, so we had a chat about the texture and the kind of the sauce in the food and everything. And I've got a huge array here. I mean, we started for the sparkling, the Bella Vista you tried. Mm-hmm. Then we go all the way down to the Amalfi Coast with the Fiano from Feo di San Gregorio. This has got more of a mineral floral element. Then there is Soave near Venice. So you travel all the way down to Venice for a more oily, tropical kind of white.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a Proprietà Sperino Lessona under the Alps. Very Pinot Noir style wine, so very light, elegant, a bit like it's a Nebbiolo, same variety of Barolo. Mm-hmm. Then we do have a Barolo, Luciano Sandrone.
The one from that one is similar to Barolo?
Yeah, this is actually Lessona. It's an ancient appellation that was just forgotten. And Luca De Marchi started off again, and they make this Nebbiolo, Croatina and Vespolina, indigenous varieties. Bear in mind, Italy has got over 400 indigenous grape varieties. So, you know, it's like it's a lifetime journey.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do have Barolo with Luciano Sandrone, one of the greatest artisans of Barolo. And then we move on to down to Tuscany, where we have the Brunello di Montalcino of Castello Romitorio.
Mm-hmm.
You try the Ceparello. We have Flaccianello, which is another 100% Sangiovese from Chianti Classico of Fontori. And then we have Petra, Super Tuscan, on the Tuscan coast. So this is
and Super Tuscans are really popular now.
They've been for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. And Petra is a spectacular architectural winery right on the coast. And then if you get on the boat, you get onto an island, Isola d'Elba, where Napoleon was confined. And we're about to taste a dessert wine, red dessert wine.
Yeah, pass that at about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, Sagrantino di Montefalco from Umbria. And then we finish off with one of the biggest wines of Italy, Amarone from Romano dal Forno.
I have an idea, because Amarone, if I'm out there listening to this, there's no way I'm going to remember this or be able to write it all down.
Right.
Can you send to Nikki some information on each of these wines, and we'll post it on the list so that anybody listening to this can actually, you know.
Sounds like a plan. Absolutely.
But
thank you.
Before you pour the wine, just, I'm sort of curious, with the wines that you were offering,
right,
were chefs, did some of the chefs say, no, I want an Amarone, or no, I want the Barolo? I mean, because, you know, some of these Italian wines are more popular, have better standing than some of the lesser known.
Yeah, you got it. In fact, I have to say that, you know, Barolo, Brunello, and Chianti Classico and Amarone, of course, are the big names.
Right.
So, in general terms, I must confess that I found way more sort of bigger knowledge, mm-hmm, about Italian wines than I was expecting to find across these chefs. So
we're not that dumb in DC.
No, but you know, Italy is difficult for everyone.
No, yeah. I know.
and yes, we are.
And some chefs were a little more, but you know, the more difficult ones were the French ones.
Right. Oh, I'm going to have to jump in, guys, because we only have a couple more minutes. Filippo, thank you so much for all of this. Where do people find you on the web?
www.lebacanti.com. That is LEBACCANTI.com.
Great. And I will absolutely have that information list. Are you on it?
All right. Let me just say, this show rocks and rolls from the minute we come on the air.
It
so
goes fast.
There's a lot more to know and do, and the only way you're going to find out about it in one spot is to go to the listareyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe. It lists literally hundreds of things going on around town. Even the event tonight that Filippo's here for, and many more, sugar and champagne, all of that. So just go there. It's free, for crying out loud. It's free. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, as we do on every show, we like to feature a specific charity, and this one was a no-brainer.
Yeah, this because we just had him in here. The Washington Humane Society is the only congressionally chartered animal welfare agency in the country. It's been around since the 1870s. Here in the DC area, they care for about 30,000 animals each year through programs like sheltering, adoption, spaying and neutering and all of that. And there's no downside. They're a great organization. You can go to washhumane.org. They need volunteers. They need money, and mm-hmm, they need people to give homes to, you know, dogs and cats that, need homes, have been abused, abandoned, whatever. So.
Okay. Are you done with that? Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, excellent. So please, you know, volunteer help. Come to Sugar and Champagne. It's a great way to get involved with the Washington Humane Society. And as we also do on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote. David came up with this one. It's not his best, but he
is
very happy with it.
All of
open that glove compartment. You got it, Your Highness.
Oh, that's right. Spaceballs. Well, since we were talking yogurt this morning, anybody that's seen Spaceballs knows that Mel Gibson was played.
Mel Brooks.
May the Schwartz
be with you. Yay, Andy.
He also said, I see that your Schwartz is as big as mine. Now let's see how you handle it. All right. So
that's the quote. May the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be with all of you.
Okay.
All right. We want to thank our guests, Aviva Goldfarb, Ron Graves of Pinkberry, Ellen Gray and Stephanie Shane for Sugar and Champagne.
And Little Snowball.
And Little Snowball, the puppy dog. And, of course, not last but never least, Filippo Bartolotta, who brought in amazing wines and who brought me a small taste of Italy, where I hope to spend the declining years of my life, or at least when I die, to be spread around there. That's where I want to be.
Okay, I'll take you there.
I know you will.
All right, so next week...
You and your boyfriend.
Please, be quiet. Next week, we have a terrific show. We have Danny Losebens coming in from Post Brasserie. He's going to be pouring port and giving us cookies. And if you like whoopie pies, we're having a whoopie pie eating contest on the show with Chef Robbie Meltzer of Zolo Wine & Kitchen. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. Have a delicious week.
Bye.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas.
Commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about